And really, that kind of leads into our lesson this morning, the one another's, the idea of our work together, our fellowship together, our association together as a church. And so we're going to talk about that some this morning, and the future lessons. I had in my mind, I had lessons planned for the next 2 weeks, but you guys are bailing out on me, so I don't know. I may have to put those off. I don't know. Or maybe give you an assignment to listen to them anyways, but I wouldn't do that. Appreciate the songs this morning and the comments, the great comments this morning Tyler made about our Lord's Supper and remembering our Savior's death. Always appreciate that. And you know, as we sat there and sung, we sung about heaven and you know the good things in life. You know, and sometimes in reality is we kind of want heaven on earth, right? For centuries, I guess they were looking for the fountain of youth because youth is great. You know, right? And we want to get rid of all our diseases we have and be rejuvenated. And that great movie Tangled that Disney or whoever put out, you know, the little flower that gave everlasting. We just want life to be good here. And this life will never be heaven. But you know what? Maybe the church and our relationship is, well, it's definitely a step on the journey to heaven. You know, it may not be heaven on earth, but it could be close. I think that's the direction I'm going with my lessons, and that to show the value of our association together, because there's great value in it. And how we gain this value, how do we achieve this value, how do we get, if we're not there, how do we get to where our relationships are valuable? What is the processes, if they're not, what is the process to get there? The relationship with my family, my cousins, is relatively good on most levels. Everybody behaved this week, you know, right? So relationships, you have family gatherings. Maybe in your life you have family members that are really close. And you have very in-depth relationship with them, very deep relationship with them. And it brings you joy. It brings you comfort. It brings you reassurance. And in reality, that's what's designed, that our relationships are that way. That's what God intends for us, but we're human, right? And so today's lesson, I just want to talk about the need we have for one another. Because sometimes we may not recognize the need. I want to express this need in a certain way that really drove it home for me, and it kind of puts it in the right spotlight. We are a self-reliant society. We love, and this is Ross speaking, I love to stand on my own. I love to sit back and say, hey, I achieved that. And we can do that, you know. We are self-reliant. We don't rely on each other so much. We do rely on the medical system when we get sick. We rely on contractors to build our houses and barns. We rely on manufacturers to build our refrigerators and air conditioners and automobiles. You know, we do rely on those things. We certainly enjoy them, but I don't know if we probably recognize how much we do rely on them. But we are very self-reliant, and we have that concept about ourselves and about our life. We like to stand on our own and look at life in that manner. There are just one of the references I had. This is not necessarily absolute, but there's at least 67 one another scriptures. In other words, the idea of what we as Christians do together. There's 67 scripture references in the New Testament just on that phrase about our relationship with one another. It's important. But the church is important. And that's what I want to dig into today. Why, you know, just the fact that there is a need. Respect the need we have of one another. And we're going to get into this idea of what it takes to be valued, to be valuable to one another. You know, we all recognize there's people in our life that's not valuable. There may be a close family member that's not valuable to us. We could go without seeing them today, tomorrow, maybe for the next years, right? There's people you have in your life that way. But we want to be valued with one another. And so we're going to get there. I say get there. That's my goal, is to get there and talk through those things and teach through those things. When we disciple Jesus, that our relationship with one another is of value. And that's the whole point of my lesson this morning, is that it is valuable. It's not just valuable, it's needy and even necessary. It is necessary. I look at Moses. I have a few case studies to give here that just drive home this point of this self-reliant concept that we have of life. We are self-reliant. Moses did not rely on himself. Now, if you remember, we talked about Moses and how he, when he was young, 40 years young, right? He was ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Stephen talked about that in Acts 7. But he didn't work out, right? He ended up fleeing. But Moses, as he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, there are 600,000 men there. So he's one man out of 600 fighting men, right? He couldn't do this. He didn't think he could do this by himself, remember? He didn't think that. God told him he could, right? We spent some time on that. Who were his support? Remember, there was just two people of faith in that group that amounted to much, right? Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. And basically, the other 600,000 or 500, I'm not going to do the math on that, I'll get it wrong. All these other men said, we can't. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb were men of faith. So even though he wasn't alone, even three people out of 600,000, that's just still a lot of people not on your side, right? And God, as he's trying to inspire and provoke Moses, look, Moses, go and lead my people out of Egypt. You've known for 40 years now you're going to lead them out of Egypt. Go and do it now. And by the way, here's these miracles you're going to perform so they will know you're from me. And remember, we're not going to read this passage right now because we're kind of rehearsing our lesson we did just a little while ago. Moses says, well, God, they're not going to listen to me and I'm not a great spokesman. And God says, you know, I made you. I made you to speak. I can do these things. It's okay, Moses, go. And Moses says, no, I can't. Moses needed someone. Now, granted, he could have done what God said you can do. That's absolute. He didn't perceive that. He didn't believe that. He wasn't ready to take that on. And so what did God do? He said, all right, here's Aaron. A little bit of disgust, right? Moses recorded this event and said God was angry with him. Moses needed support. And God gave it. Moses didn't do this by himself. He didn't. What about Elijah? Another great example. Elijah says, I'm the only one. There's three occurrences there in Kings 18. So if you want to, do turn to that one. I really like the lessons from about Elijah. I guess in some ways because I like to go to the wilderness and like to go alone, I can relate to, a little bit to what he did. A little bit. Even when I go into the wilderness, it's not like Elijah went. I have lots of comforts. But notice in 1 Kings here in 18 and 1 Kings 19, these references here, he says, I'm the only one. I am the only one. In 1 Kings 18, verse 22, Elijah said to people, I alone have left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I'm the only prophet working actually. And then again in chapter 19, verse 10, as he speaks with God, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, for the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel. They have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one. Right? And then verse 14. But notice in this story, as we find out, he was the only one. He wasn't the only prophet. He was the only one still active. Everybody else had gone to the wilderness. Elijah's like, hey, this sounds like a pretty good. You ever been on a job somewhere, and there's five of you assigned this task to do the work, and the other five leave and just leave you to do all of it? Well, I want to leave too. That's the picture that's painted here. Elijah, there's 100 other men hiding in caves. And I'm the only one left here to do the job. I'm going to cave too. He does. He needed support. He felt alone. I'm the only one, is in his words. I think the right way to perceive this or to understand this is is he knew these other 100 prophets, but they weren't working. They were hiding out. Elijah says, I'm going to hide too. He needed support. He was not in the place in his life to do this alone. Remember, this is the same Elijah that had just conquered that 450 prophets of Baal. He stood against them. He stood against those 450 prophets, but the one woman, Jezebel, he didn't stand against her. He was scared of her. He was scared of her threat. And was alone. Everybody else was hiding in a cave doing the work. And God responds to him, and we're not going to read all of that. He says there in this section in 1 Kings 19, 9 through 18, he says, God consoles him, says, look, there are still 7,000 faithful Israelites in this nation. You are not alone. And of course, we realize that Elijah never was actually alone. God was always there, but Elijah, the human being, the prophet of God, doing the work of God, wanted and needed support. And there's something, you get the theme here, there's something about human companionship. You know, at some point in our faith, we may get to the point where we don't need that human companionship as much. But these great men, Moses, needed some level of companionship on this earth, some physical companionship. Elijah needed some form of companionship on this earth. It's not that God wasn't good enough, it's just that's where he was in life. Paul needed companionship. Let's turn over to Acts 18. Again, I think when we look at this passage, I'm going to highlight some things maybe you hadn't considered about Paul. Because we see Paul as this great champion, this going and seemingly alone and confronting the Jews and continuous conflict and strife, it seems. And I'm going to propose to you that this was getting to him, that he himself needed companionship. He needed relationship with human contact, with human beings, people, and he had that. He was given that. There were those that ministered to him. Jesus ministered to Paul. Similarly, as we've talked about Elijah and Moses, God comes on the scene. So notice what happens here in Acts 18. And do turn there and note what happens. First of all, notice verse 5. All of a sudden, Paul has been there and he's been teaching. But there's a change that happens here. Timothy and Silas show up in verse 5 of Acts 18. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And I think the King James uses the word, he was pressed in the Spirit. Something happened there. But also look at verse 9 and 10. So as Paul is working in Corinth, Jesus shows up. Why would Jesus say this to Paul? And Jesus said to Paul in the night by vision, don't be afraid any longer, but go speak and do not be silent. What are you afraid of, Paul? The Jews. Why? Because they were very militant. Because he was struggling. Because they were adversaries to him. They were adversaries to God. There was contention and strife. Paul, don't be afraid any longer. Go and speak and don't be silent, for I am with you. No man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Paul needed companionship. And here God comes on the scene again. Jesus, in this case, says, I'm here with you, Paul. In verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, he began to devote himself more. Now, in that case, it may be because they were able to work and help support him. But he needed people. He couldn't do this by himself. The Apostle Paul needed companionship. He needed association. He needed the one another concept to help him. He needed support. And even Jesus, in this case, comes on the scene. Jesus needed... Now, and I'm careful with this one. I wondered if I even should put it in the lesson. But you know what? There is something about Jesus that even shows Jesus valued human relationship. Even Jesus valued the human relationship. And we know in Gethsemane, and we don't have to necessarily turn to these, but again, or Matthew 4, when he's 40 days in the wilderness, he was tested by the devil. Angels came and ministered to him after that. Angels. Jesus needed support, or at least valued support. Angels arrived and helped him. And again, in Gethsemane, it says angels helped him there, but also remember his disciples, his apostles, well, they're close by. And other renderings of that event show he desired their comfort, he desired their support, and they slept. Jesus, again, because this is Jesus, I don't know how to say this. I've used the word needed because it's the theme of the lesson. He valued that. And maybe it can be said he actually needed that. He certainly received it. He didn't do it on his own. He didn't do it by himself. He had support. In this case, angels came. And he had his disciples with him. And so even though our last week's lesson, week before last, we talked about quiet time, alone time, time to fast and meditate, or whatever the case may be, those ideas are true. But they're a period of time, a limited period of time. The system that God has designed, I use the word system, God has designed us to need each other. Moses needed human contact. Elijah, Paul needed human beings in their life. Jesus at least valued his relationships. And valuing relationship, realize, and I think to me this drives home the point from the beginning. God designed us to need one another. In particular, he brings out the marriage relationship. As human beings, we need someone in our life. He saw that it was not good. It was not good that we were alone. It was not good that he made man and didn't have a woman with him. And I'll say the reverse of that. It's not good for a woman to be alone. Mankind is designed by God to be have a fellowship and association with one another. That's Genesis 2:18. And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. From the beginning, God designed us to need each other. And so it's not good that man be alone. I pulled up some proverbs here from the about friends. Association, close associations. It is, friendship is an important part of life. And I have those, if you got the lesson sheet, by the way, I encourage you to have that, utilize that as you wish. A friend loves at all times. This is the valuing of our relationship one with another. Our close friends, whether it's a family member or just a friend in life. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Again, the value of relations, human relationships. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Again, value in one another. We need one another. And ultimately, we have the church. Valuing the church. Now, I'm using this passage in Ephesians because I like what it says. It really is not so much, I don't believe, about the local church. This passage in Ephesians talks about, I believe, the church on the big scale and not our local church here. But I like what it has to say, and I think we can relate the necessity and the value of the church, even at the local level in this passage. We will spend more time developing this as well, so don't take this to the wrong way. But we in the church have a relationship that is, or the church itself is valuable. In Ephesians 5, it talks about this allegory between Jesus and the church. He says he is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body being the church. He loved the church and gave his life for it. He sanctifies and cleanses it. The church is of value. And again, I'm taking a little bit of liberty by using this in the lesson because it's not really talking about the local church, but the concept of the church of Jesus is of value. And even in Revelation, the church is the bride of Christ. And we're going to, again, I'm going to make the point to expand on this idea, not going to leave that with you just at that, because it is a little bit of a misuse, but there's value in the church. And my point is to recognize there is value. And so we do need one another. We do need human contact, physical, personal relationships with one another. Moses needed it. Elijah needed it. Paul needed it. Jesus needed it, or at least valued it, right? We should value our personal relationships, our spouse and family, our friends, and in the church. We were not designed in this life to live alone. As much as sometimes we want to, maybe we may want to leave society. I find great value and pleasure in going to places where there is not, you can't even hear a car drive around. Can't do that in Iowa yet. Everywhere I go in Iowa, there's still car traffic. I'm just sorry. But there's places in this country you can go and you don't hear another soul. There's not a car. There's not a horn. There's not people shouting. There's just you and God's creation. And that's all you hear. You know, but we're not designed to live that way. Elijah went there and had to come back. I say had to come back. He came back, right? There are places to go. Jesus went to the wilderness. And we may go there for a time, but at the end of the day, we need each other. We need each other. That is a necessity of our life here. We can't achieve things without each other. And we do live in this independent, self-sufficient culture. We just are. We do. We have a great sense of sufficiency because we can just because we have so much technology around us, and really we do rely on things. We rely on the medical system. We rely on this, that, and the other. We rely on manufacturers and all these things to make us comfortable. But we have a concept of self-sufficiency that I can get by on my own, and I don't need anybody. But that's not the world God created. The world God created is that we rely on each other. There's a reliance we need each other. It is difficult to ask for help. I remember as I started preaching, I knew I was going to need support where I went, and I got to tell you, I didn't like asking for support. I kind of felt like I was begging. I quit thinking about it because I don't like asking for help either. But I knew it'd be necessary, and I just buckled up and did it, and they didn't like it. But it's always hard to ask for help, right? And we also need to learn to trust one another. And I say that because there are relationships that we're in, honestly, we don't trust somebody or some people. Well, that's the reality of it. That's part of the lesson I want to put together here is how do we help build the trust in one another? How do we help build this relationship? And it's got to be founded on trusting one another, right? We're going to build it. I think there's going to be some great lessons that I need to talk through in my own head that I want to present to you about how we interact together and how we act and behave as human beings, as God's creation here. Because we need each other and we need to be trustworthy to have that relationship that God has designed for us. And I'm not saying we don't have it and we're doing it wrong. I'm just saying that I think just like every church Paul wrote to, there's room for development. And talking through these things will be of value, I hope, to you. I know it will be for me. So that's why I encourage you, if I do preach the lesson next week, I encourage you to go listen to it because I'm going to find it of value and I hope you do as well. Relationships provide great value in life. It makes life rich and full of meaning. I mean, let's be honest. You know, human relationships are difficult. They are challenging. When I'm out and about walking or running or hiking, whatever I'm doing, I run into dogs. I love petting dogs. As I do some part-time work over at Fleet Farm, people come in with dogs. There's a big Great Dane that was coming in the store yesterday. That sucker stood, I kid you not, this tall. This little head. He didn't know me from Adam. He trusted me for some reason. Oh, wow. He liked being petted. Relationship with dogs is easy. Now, not cats. Cats are cats, you know, right? They do their thing. But dogs are just lovable. They're just happy and at least. So anyways, it's easy to have a relationship with pets, but as human beings, we're complicated, ain't we? Aren't we complicated? Sometimes it might even be difficult. But valuing relationships, we're going to work on that. We're going to try it. And see, our interaction with others, reality is it allows us and forces us to focus on ourselves at times. Somebody treats us bad or we have a bad relationship. We want to heal that relationship. We want to improve that relationship. Eventually, you come around looking at yourself and you begin to see yourself. And it may be that God sends people or people in our lives to help us see ourselves. Okay? It helps us to grow. It helps us to change. It helps us see things we may not otherwise see. And that's part of growth, part of maturing, as we recognize these things and polish off our life as far as how we interact with others. So there's a lesson there that it teaches us about ourselves and who we are and improve ourselves. Great power in relationships. Our scripture reading, as I'm only now getting to that in Hebrews, kind of drives that home, the value of our relationships together. God's plan, God's purpose, God's design that we want to achieve and want to fulfill in our lives. Let us hold fast. I'm reading the New American Standard. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is unwavering. He's faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our assembling as a habit of some, but encouraging one another. There's our word. And all the more you see the day drawing near. Let us stimulate one another to love and good works. We need each other. It's of great value. We are designed to need each other. All those men need each other. It's constructive. It's healthy. It's beneficial. And we'll dig deeper into this as time goes, is my plan, as the Lord will permit there. I hope the lesson has been beneficial and emphasizes, the goal was to emphasize the value of our relationship one with another. We will continue to develop what we need to be as people so that we can have that kind of relationship God intends for us to have. That we can be there for one another, that we can encourage one another and inspire one another to do good things. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We can't get to heaven by ourselves. God did not design the system, as it were, for us to get there by ourselves. We need each other. And I hope we saw that from the lesson. Even Paul needed someone. Even Moses needed someone. Even Elijah needed someone. You know what? If they did, I know we do. Probably even more so, right? So, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to make that choice this morning and have your sins washed away through baptism as Scripture teaches. Join us in our walk together and our life together as we all journey on that road to heaven. Would you join it with us if you've not already by confessing Jesus as that Jesus is God and is our Savior, is resurrected, and being baptized, having your sins washed away. And if you have something that you would like the church to pray for on your behalf, we'd be glad to know about that as well. You're welcome to let us know now as we stand and sing our song that's been selected.